Okay. Today's date is January 20th, 2024, Sabbath day. And hope and pray that everybody is blessed. And if you have your Bibles, I hope and pray you do, so that we can go together in the Scriptures and be blessed. So hold on. Okay. All right, so we're in Acts chapter 13. Let me get out of this PM area here. Get back in the text chat. Okay. I'm going to read verses 8, 9, and 10. Acts chapter 13, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. This was that false prophet that is mentioned here in verse 6, Bar-Jesus. Or could be Bar-Jesus, you know, it all depends on how they pronounce the words back then. But verse 9 says, then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Well, you can say that to just about everybody today. As a matter of fact, I got an email from a brother in the faith this morning. He says, why is everybody on this planet so unforgiving? We're in the last days. And the best way I can explain something like that is, I mean, you saw little bits and pieces of it 2,000 years ago. You saw little bits and pieces of this demonic mindset. Well, especially during the time of the two witnesses, when Rome moved France to become atheist, just like Rome. And that's why it says in the prophecy, when the two witnesses were killed, they were killed in the where the Lord Jesus was crucified. And people says, he wasn't crucified in France. Well, you got to look at the symbology behind it. Because Rome was controlling France to destroy all the Bibles and literally outlaw Christianity and enforce fornication by law. I kid you not. And but Rome was also the one that was influenced in killing Christ 2,000 years ago, too. And so it's always going to be the same thing. Rome moving on whoever they can control at the time to do the devil's bidding. And so today, it's all over the place. Everywhere you look, people are very hateful towards each other. And this is one of the beauties of being a Christian in these last days. We're a beacon of light. We go out there and, you know, you're not supposed to hide your light under a bushel like Christ said, right? And so you go out there and just your gentle, loving demeanor shows people, oh, amen to that, what Brother Dwayne just put in a room there, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, and I'm going to read it. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. I should have sent this verse to the brother. And it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know, the homosexual thing. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, you know, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 types, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And so, yeah, that's today's world. And thank you, Brother Anthony. Revelation 11, verses 7 and 8. And when they shall have finished their testimony, you know, the two witnesses, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit at this time, it's France under the control of Rome, shall make war against them, you know, the two witnesses, the Bible, you know, Old and New Testament, two witnesses, shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, Paris, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, because homosexuality, part of it is Roman Catholicism, and Egypt, which in prophecy is atheism. where our Lord was crucified. And so when you see, you know, Sodom and Egypt mentioned, you not only see Rome in France, you see Rome in Israel, you know, the Jews. And so a lot of people get confused, but that's on them, because the natural man cannot see the things that are of God, because they are spiritually discerned. So the only way to understand Revelation is to understand the symbology and the and everything that's in there. And so it makes it easier to understand the prophecies. And then it just, you get that forehead slapping moment, like, wow, never saw that before kind of a thing. And so, amen. Amen, Brother Arthur. The Holy Spirit is even now being slowly withdrawn from the earth. And so, like I said earlier, we're going to be that beacon of light. Like we always say, and I've been saying this for years, you might be the only Bible some people read. And so when you step out, and that blessed me in a big way to where I started going into the scriptures, because when I started leaning towards Christ, I wanted to watch people that had drastic changes in their lives because of Jesus. And I always mentioned, you know, my brother-in-law and then that one woman I worked with over at that insurance company, they were extremely evil. Their lives were crazy evil bad. And then both of them found Christ. Not at the same time. They didn't even know each other, right? And their lives changed so drastically. I watched them like a hawk. And they never knew I was watching them. I was reading the Bible by watching their movement. And we got to be careful here, because they're going to be watching us in the days. As a matter of fact, they're watching us now. And this is what gets their anger up. And this is why they attack us and hate us, just by being believers. It's just that simple. And that's what they did during, you know, in the French Revolution, you know, the age, what was it, the age of reason, they called it, and their liberty, and, you know, burning the Bible, and calling, what did they call it? So I got it in my notes here. I just, let's see, bottomless pit here. I'm in Revelation, I got to go to 11 here, hold on. Revelation 11, verse... I can't remember exactly where it is now, where I was. That's probably it there. Nope. The two olive trees also, by the way, are the two candlesticks, which also, by the way, are the two witnesses, which also, by the way, is scripture. You know, and so let's see, the golden candlestick. Okay, let me see. Maybe it's verse 5. I just got way too many notes in here. But here's something that's very interesting. A lot of people don't realize, you know, like where the Bible says that if any man will hurt them, because the Bible says that in Revelation 11, verse 9, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And so you got all the, you know, like the movies out there, Left Behind, and you got these two guys standing with flames coming out of their mouths and stuff. Like, they're literally trying to define Revelation as to what it's saying literally. They don't even understand the symbols at all. But in like manner, if any man will hurt them, is like if any man adds or takes away from the scripture, because the ones that are being hurt here are the two witnesses, which is the scripture. So if any man takes, like if any man adds or takes away from the scriptures, it'll be in like manner that they will have something added to them and something taken away. And the adding would be, of course, to have, you know, because Revelation 22 is pretty clear in verses 18 and 19, to have the plagues added to them if they add anything to the book. And if they take scriptures out, well, then what's taken out of them is their name out of the book of life. And so, but you know, I just love prophecy. I got to tell you, it makes today's life, this world, seem so clear now. It makes it easier to understand what we're looking at when we're looking at it. And, but it's going to get a lot more intense and exciting at the same time, because you're going to see the Bible literally coming to life right before your eyes. If you stay in the scriptures daily right now, and then you just watch the news, yeah, that's why I like doing the blog, you know, because I just put up the news reports in regards to all those sections that I sectioned out. There's quite a few more sections, but sometimes nothing shows up in the news, and so I don't put blank stuff up, so I leave those sections out, like the UFO thing, Rome's UFO agenda. Unless I get something, I won't put it up there. But I have a page on the website all about how Rome invented the UFO thing in the 1600s. They even have paintings in the Vatican. Oh, and by the way, the massacre of St. Bartholomew, that gigantic mural, that the Vatican puts up and shows are, they're so happy to have it, and they're so proud that they were able to destroy, they said, these Protestants. That's a bold-faced lie. Yeah, they killed those people. And yes, they were Protestants against Rome, but not from Roman Catholicism. They were just protesting against Rome's desire to destroy society by burning the Bibles. The Bartholomew, the massacre of Bartholomew, happened during the Age of Reason, when the two witnesses were killed. If you didn't put the Bible down, you were put down in its place. So, but yeah, amen. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. If you add to the Bible, the plagues will be added to you. If you take away from the Bible, your name's taken out of the book. So, amen. Amen and amen. Yeah, amen. Amen to that, Gilbert. A lot of people miss that point. But then again, they don't understand 1,260 days means years. And so they literally say, oh, yeah, that's why they come up with the pre-trib or the post-trib tribulation thing, and the two witnesses go out there and they preach for 3.5 years. But a day equals a year in prophecy. Ezekiel 4:6, Numbers 14:34. You can't get around it. And the way the prophecies went down in Daniel's day, if you add it by days only, it doesn't work out. But if you add it by exact, you know, a day equals a year, well, then it comes exactly in place where all those kingdoms came and came and went in exactly 2,300 years. You know, that's, so that's even before the 1,260-year great tribulation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, where 500 million Christians were killed by the Pope. So, amen. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and hence we can have that understanding if we just stay in the Bible. Amen and amen and amen. I can go on for days. So let's go to verse 11. It says this. But getting back to verse 10 about how, you know, they won't cease to pervert the ways of the Lord. Today, most people are walking with Satan. We are in the age of lying. I've been saying that for probably 30 years now, that we are in the age of lying. So whatever's good is evil. Whatever's evil is good. And so that's why, you know, some people, another way to look at it is this. Just like the Christian will be the beacon of life, or I'm sorry, light, you know, Christ, our righteousness in us, will reflect Christ to people and bless them. Well, in the same way, the people that follow Satan will be, you know, beacons of darkness for him. And since most people, hence the reason they're trying to destroy Paul's epistles, they're trying to get it out of the Bible because Paul was a preacher unto the Gentiles, and today all the world wonders after the beast, which means all the world are Gentiles. They're all pagans. I mean, come on, they're doing Christmas, Easter, Sunday worship, you know. And I just noticed it the other day. One of the brothers in the faith or sister, I don't remember who did it, they put a picture in the room, I think it was last night or recently, of, you know, the marquees on some churches. Or maybe they texted it to me or something, I don't know. But, you know, you see the marquee on the church, they don't even notice it. They abbreviate sun. Day, just day, like they have their hours on the marquee out in front of the church, and it literally says, you know, Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., let's say, but instead it says sun worship. they don't even catch that part. That is something as blunt as that. It's literally sun worship. It's paganism. It's Baal worship. All the world wonders after the beast, and so that's why they got to get rid of Paul's writings, because he was out there preaching to the Romans and got a lot of them to, thank you. Brother Austin, click on that. Look right underneath it. Because it says on the marquee, Real Life Bible Church, and it says, you know what God left out of the Bible? Your opinion. That was you, brother. Okay, yeah, this was in the men's study, wasn't it, that you posted it? But underneath it, look at it. It says sun worship at 11 a.m. And then Wednesday Bible study, and what was it? Oh, and they have a Real Life, like a community page or something like that. Yeah. It's amazing. So, and again, I say it's amazing grace that we are blessed with. Okay, so verse 11. Let me see if I have to go to 12 here. No. Okay, good. This is that one spot where Paul puts this false prophet in his place. It says in chapter 13, verse 11. Okay, it says, and thank you again, Brother Anthony, for posting all that in the room. So, but yeah, amen to that, Brother Seth. Testimony of Jesus. Let's see here, verse 11. It says, "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee." You know, because he just told him, he says, you never cease to pervert the right ways of God, you know, like they do today. They're always looking for a way. Ever notice that too when you're talking to somebody? Like, say you're in a crowd of people, and a couple, three people asking you some honest, sincere questions about Christ, and there's always somebody going to be in there chiming some negativity towards whatever you say, no matter how much love you muster. It's amazing. But, and this is the kind of spirit that this guy had. And again, it was just, you'd see little pockets of these kind of people all over the place in Paul's day, and then later on in Luther's day. And then, you know, but today it's like, yeah, that's the norm. The overwhelming little pockets now are us, you know, the remnant of our seed. We're just very few in number, but that's planned that way. Just like little David running towards Goliath. It's not our fight. If it was David's fight, he'd be rolling up with an M16 or something. He wouldn't be coming up there with a pebble. He knew it was God's fight. And so we knew God would fight for him. Just like we're going to know God fights for us, as he has been doing all along. How many times have we been, I mean, check out the, you know, like that one page that I put up on the site recently. Consider the source, the pattern. For decades, they have been trying to get us to change the message, using everything from bold-faced lies, false prophecies, and fanaticisms. They just won't stop until that eastern sky splits. Well, they won't stop until, until the eastern sky splits, because I have no doubt in my mind they're going to try to convince the 144, you know, during the plagues, but it's all going to fall on deaf ears and they know it. But they're still going to try because they have that desire from Satan. But anyway, verse 11 says, "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And when he says for a season, because season has, it took me forever to figure out the definition of the word season in prophecy, but when you use it, you know, because like in prophecy, a season is a lifetime, if you will, due to what it says in Hebrews 11:25 when speaking of Moses, because Paul says he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But that was 40 years, though, if you think about it as well. So the season in Hebrews 25 is depicted as a lifetime simply because Moses could have chosen to stay in Egypt to live out his entire lifetime in a worldly way, but he obviously chose a better path after he murdered a guy, right? And so he took off and he was out in the wilderness taking care of sheep for 40 years. And then the burning bush, obviously, and the Lord revealed himself to him. And then he had another 40 years, but now in the wilderness, you know, leading the flock of God, you know, the Israelites that were obedient. But when you see, like here, for a season, This depicts a set period of time, no doubt, set by the Lord himself to move the sorcerer to repent. And so, but the reason I believe the season mentioned here in this verse can't be the rest of the sorcerer's life, and instead of to be like a set time of judgment upon the sorcerer, you know, so as to move him to repent, is because of the way the Lord declared to Jeremiah how he had already set a specific date for his life to end, when he said what he said to him in Jeremiah 29:11. You know, so when I compare Jeremiah 29:11 with Hebrews 11:25, I see the context is obviously speaking of a lifetime, whereas in Acts 13:11, it's not. Because 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." In short, the season is a set or predetermined period of time by God himself, which is a measure of a certain amount of time. Just as the four seasons of the year are set by God in our lifetime, you know, the lifetime of man can be seen as God-given season, in that as Jeremiah 29:11 dictates, he, God, chooses, you know, he chooses the length. Because some of us will live to be, you know, 120, let's say, and some will only make it to, like, say, 37 years old. But Oh, okay. Yeah, good point. Yeah, in regards to, thanks, Brother Austin, there, where he said, you know, just like Gideon, you know, he blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, and the Lord fought for them. I mean, the Midianites fought against themselves because, you know, when they heard all that noise, they just got scared. And so the Lord said, every man's sword against this fellow, even through all the host. Gideon didn't have to do much but obey. Yeah, amen. Just like David or like us walking forward in the coming days, because we're going to be surrounded, especially those of us that make it into that, that precious and, you know, blessed number, the 144,000. We're going to be surrounded by everybody on the planet, just like Noah and his family was. And yet, we're going to be the only ones that are headed home, you know, the only ones saved. And no, we're not getting raptured off before it all, you know, gets crazy. If that was the case, Noah wouldn't have had to have built that ark. He'd have left. But still, what I just shared in regards to the blindness, I praise God, I found this confirmation. And that's why I like what I've been doing lately, especially in the prophetic books. I found a new way of getting more and more research information in regards to what the pioneers thought. And I love confirmation, you know, and I love correction too, because I found a couple areas where I had some boo-boos, you know, right? Kind of, I mean, not a major boo-boo where it's going to cause a big old problem for me. I just misunderstood something, and I should have gone a little further in defining a certain prophetic symbol. And that's what I'm doing now. And it's just because I've been going through the seals and the trumpets, doing it in a different way than I've ever done before, because the brothers out in Uganda, or is it Kenya? I can't remember where. They're starting this big old, they're going to have this big old camp meeting in a few months, and they're going to do something on the trumpets. And so me and Alvin have been, you know, he's doing his study, I'm doing mine. And then when we're done, we're just going to, you know, bang heads and, you know, compare notes. And, well, we won't be banging heads, but you know what I mean. But check this out. I found this in Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 3, page 351, paragraph 1. Let me put this in the room. In regards to this, and if you look at, Jesse, and if you look at the plagues, brother, of Egypt, yeah, it's similar to the plagues. A lot of people don't realize of the seven last plagues. Well, if that's the case, well, the Jews went through all 10 of those plagues without a plague coming in either dwelling, just like we go through the plagues without a plague coming nigh our dwelling. But here, I'll let me put this in the room here for Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 3 here. Page 351 again. Paragraph 1, it says, the sorcerer, you know, this Elymas guy or Bar-Jesus, whatever you want to call him, the sorcerer had closed his eyes to the evidences of the truth and the light of the gospel. Therefore, the Lord, in his righteous anger, caused his natural eyes to be closed, shutting out from him the light of day. Now listen to what she says next. This blindness was not permanent, but only for a season, to warn him to repent and to seek pardon of God, whom he had so offended. And the reason I go into a little more detail in regards to the season is because I had already defined the word season in the prophetic symbols of my Book of Revelation study. And so I don't want to confuse anyone that happens to come across my study, say, on this chapter, and sees, it would come up looking different, when in fact it's not. There's two different ways of looking at the symbol. Just like some symbols, for example, like the word season itself, can just in the Strong's Concordance alone, has multiple definitions. But let me go to topic notes, and I'll go to the season here that I have. Thought I had it. I guess I don't. I think I never did put a... No, I don't have it defined in my topic notes. I thought I did. But it's a lifetime, you know. But then, of course, you got to look at the context again. And so let me get back to my notes here. Spirit of Prophecy here. And so, again, this blindness was not permanent, but only for a season, to warn him to repent and to seek pardon of God, whom he had so offended. The confusion into which this man was brought with all his boasted power made all his subtle arts against the doctrine of Christ of none effect. The fact of his being obliged to grope about in blindness proved to all beholders that the miracles which the apostles had performed and which Elymas, I guess, had denounced as being produced by sleight of hand, were in truth wrought by the power of God. The deputy was convinced of the truth of the doctrine taught by the apostles and embraced the gospel of Christ. Get that? Instead, because Elymas was trying to get the deputy to walk away and didn't want him to hear this. But instead, he was convinced of the truth that the apostles brought forth, and then he embraced Christ. But if you notice today, a lot of these street magicians, or even on YouTube type of magicians, and some people are tagging it demon magic, because some of this magic is demonic, and they're doing things that are not sleight of hand. It's just demonic apparition taking place. And because we're coming close to the end, Satan knows his time is short. That's why most people out there are acting like Satan, because he's just letting it go crazy now, because he knows, in other words, it's just like with the Pope out there saying Jesus Christ failed 3 times on camera and saying that Satan is stronger than Jesus. Pope John Paul II more or less tried to declare that with symbolism, if you will. I have a video about that. And they're out there because they can say those things now, because we're so close to the end now that the overwhelming majority of the people on the planet are like in Noah's day, or even during the Age of Reason. Everybody is falling for it, and everybody is going to, you know, go for whatever kind of evils that they can embrace, because that pays the bills, let's say. And especially when we come to the time when we can't buy and sell, the main crux of the matter will be, is they're believing all these lies about climate change. When Satan shows up and acts like he's Jesus, because that has to obviously happen first, because he's the one who stands next to the Pope and tells him to go ahead and push forward with the Sunday laws. At least that's what we're, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know the exact area in the quote where Sister White talks about it, but it's in there. But this demonic magic that, and some of these guys have this, I don't want to mention their names, but I've seen this one guy. He always has this weird stare about him, and he always has like this very low and quiet demeanor, and he has this weird look that he has when people get all shocked about his. He's trying to play the place of Simon Magus or even Elymas here. He's trying to, you know, the demon that was possessing these guys back then is now possessing this man. I have no doubt in my mind, because we're so close to the end. I could see him coming up as a quote-unquote great power of God, like when all the people of the world believe that he must be blessed of God to be able to do these things that he does. But these are sleight-of-hand tricks, and some of it is demonic magic, but at the same time, it's not raising somebody from the dead. It's not causing someone to go mute or blind or even healing somebody or having an arm grow. And people say, oh, Christ never, ever, you know, healed an amputation. You know, I had an atheist get in my face about that and says, you know, Christ did this, Christ did that. But, okay, I'll believe Christ if he ever healed an amputation. You know, like if all of a sudden some body part was gone and he caused it to come back. He says, really? Okay, well, then I guess you're going to be a Christian this very moment. Because when Peter cut off that guy's ear, Jesus put it right back on. But, again... The guy was just saying what he said to try to get the applaud of the crowd. So, praise God that it all works out for the better anyway. When it comes to how, you know, when people come against Christ, it always backfires 100% of the time. What's this? The word season is a kairos, which means a period of time. A season means time that follows, like minutes, seconds, days. Yeah, that too. And so, but it's also, like we saw in Hebrews, or even with Moses, you know, there's other ways. You have to go with the context. You don't just go with the definition of the symbol. Like I said, let me just pick one prophetic symbol, for example. I'm just going to, you know, fly through them really quick. I'll just land on, let's say, the word seed. Okay, because I was right there looking for season. So I'm just going to click the word seed. In prophecy means word of God, offspring, God's people, seeds. Just regular seeds. It means faith, heaven, good works, and Christ. And I got all the Bible verses to back it up with the area of the Bible verse underlined that defines the symbol. For example, some people say, how can Jesus be the seed? Really? Genesis 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, and as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the Bible's pretty blunt sometimes. And I love it, you know, because one of the things that I noticed, and this is like, I don't remember the year, right? I think it was 2008 that I did the actual Revelation study. And the Lord has already given me understanding with the, you know, like all of us, whenever we study the Word, but I always have a burden for the church family. And I thought, well, I don't want to be the only one that has this information, because then you feel like you're locking it up and putting your bushel under, or putting your candle under a bushel or under a bed or something, right? And so I says, you know, because I understand these symbols so far that he's teaching me. So I figured I'm going to do a study and put it online. And so we did, but I'm going to be doing, I'm finishing, well, nowhere near finishing, but I'm going to be putting the study for Revelation online again. And you thought it was big last time? Because I'm going to be putting a lot of the stuff from the pioneers, the unedited, safe stuff, mostly, you know, guys like James White, of course, Sister White, Haskell, and Josiah Litch, and Joseph Bates. I thought he was confused the other day when I missed a word that he said, one single word, and I misunderstood something Joseph Bates was saying. So I already told my brothers, because I think we did that during a men's study. So all the men that are here, hey, I apologize. Because me and Anthony, I showed up to him where I made the boo-boo. I missed one word, the word two, which is T-O-O, not T-O. And so, praise God. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And amen, yeah, amen, Dwayne. Scripture does have to be blunt. You know, the wages of sin ain't a tummy ache. The wages of sin is death. There's a reason he's so blunt sometimes, so amen. So, all right, so next week we're going to pick it up at, well, first of all, I got to figure out where I left off. I left off at verse 11. So, yeah, we'll pick it up next week at verse 12. So we didn't get that far this work. We only did four verses or three verses. Yeah, so next week it'll be Acts 13, verse 12. I'm going to drop the mic, and then we're going to go right into the sermon, because I get to preach this Sabbath. So I'll be back in a moment.